give us the word. We're ready. Let's greet him this morning. Glad you're here.
All right.
Love you, man.
Thank you. Love you too.
Love you.
Bless you too. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, sure good to see you today. I love the flavor of your church. You know, the songs you sang last night, today, all about Jesus, magnifying Him. Said, if He be lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Him. You know, and as Colleen and I travel, we're in a different church every week pretty much. And as a traveling guy, you kind of sniff out the atmosphere when you come in, you know. And I've known Pastor Gary and Kimberly for 20-some years. They have not changed, and that's not right. And one day I'm going to be as tall as Pastor Gary. Praise the Lord. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'll try. Hallelujah. But they haven't changed at all. You guys haven't aged at all. But the flavor of your church is hunger and humility and hunger for Jesus. I mean, you feel that when you come in. You know, some churches, there's a haughtiness or like, yeah, we're here for whatever. Man, you feel that you love Him. And there's nothing greater than honoring Him and loving Him. You feel that. Every person I talk to, there's a hunger for Jesus. And, man, that's just so healthy and so great. You can invite anybody here. They're going to hear the Word. And think of the last 30 or 40 years. You're here because of revival of what would you call it, a charismatic move, the Word move. God's invested in your life so that you could be the literal walking representation of the mercy and the power of God. So that you've learned who you are in Christ, learned your authority, learned the name of Jesus, learned the Word of God, so that you can be at work and you're not moved by anything. I mean, most people you work around, they're freaked out about the end times. They're freaked out about the Mayan calendar. They're freaked out about everything, and you're not freaked out about anything. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Not trying to be free, you are free. Hallelujah. I was preaching in up by Omaha, Nebraska, and one of the guys, I've been to this church like 20 times, and one of the guys I'd seen there many years, he came up to me, his name's Chris. He walked up to me and said, man, I had some land given to me, about 30 acres, and you said, you know what, I've had to run some hunters off my land 3 times last week. I was like, wow. And you know what he said to me? This will get you before we even get into the message today. This will bless you. He said, you know what? I didn't even go to the reading of the will. My attorney called me and told me that was my property. So I went over and ran those guys off my property. You have a copy of the will right here, yet we don't act on that will as much as we should. Here, this guy didn't even see the will. He took the attorney's word for it, said, that's my land. It's just like your body today. It's God's property. You run the devil off your body. Come on. I mean, he's trespassing. Amen? You're it's amazing that God likes mobile homes. You're a mobile throne. Amen. So everywhere you go, God goes. He wants to pour through. You're living in an hour right before Jesus comes where you get to see an explosion of gifts of the Spirit, explosion of the mercy of God, working of miracles, special faith, the name of Jesus, all the stuff we've been hearing all of our lives. He hasn't invested that in us just to go, wow, we have a great church. He's invested that in you so you can carry that outside the walls and all of this county, all of this region can see what Jesus is really like. I mean, our generation, Jesus has been painted as not cool, but He's cool. He's the deal. He is the deal. Won't it be something when we are raptured? You know, we'll get into that in a minute, but all of a sudden go from faith to sight. When John saw Him, said, His eyes are a flame of fire, feet like undefined brass, voice of many waters. Wow. He's the light that lights every man that comes into the earth. King of kings and Lord of lords. Man, you could preach right there, couldn't you? Woo, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Well, grab your Bibles. This is my lovely wife, Colleen. I introduced her last night. I'm so blessed to have such a sweetie. Some of you that weren't here last night. And if you're a visitor, make sure you come back. Don't judge the church on the traveling guy. Amen. Thank you, sweetie. I'm so blessed. She runs our office, and I'm so blessed to have such a wonderful wife. Thank you, baby. She's a wild preacher lady. She lived in the Bangkok, was on the mission field there, and preached up in, where was the place you preached? Nepal. So I'm so blessed to have a wild preacher lady as a wife. Amen. Bold, daring, very bold. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. But, you know, I talked a little bit about last night, the nations you go to, about how, because people say, what's happening to America? What will happen in our land? Isn't this cool that you can come to church and find out exactly what's going to happen to your nation? What's going to happen to America? I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen to America. You can't sow into all the world and not reap in your own nation. He won't be mocked. You'll reap what you sow. I preach in Russia, preach in Philippines, preach in Australia, preach all over Europe. And guess who's there? Crazy Americans. I mean, God has raised up this nation to send people all over the world. We have sown. We will reap right here. I've heard people go, well, God's done with America. Well, then He'll have to apologize to other nations because all those nations you go to, crazy Americans are there preaching the gospel, blazing a trail. So we will reap right here in our land. That's why He's invested in your life. That right before He comes back, wow, people get to hear how cool and how good Jesus is. He's so good. Why don't you grab your Bibles there? Turn to Luke 21. I was preaching in Hartford, Connecticut a while back. Luke 21. I love that you went through those signs. That's so cool. We'll do a little bit of review like that. But we're living right before the Lord comes back. I was preaching in Hartford. I guess it was a few months ago, maybe 5 or 6 months ago. And, you know, I have weird words of knowledge. You know, I saw a woman get poked in the eye with a fork, you know, and called it out. And her sister had poked in the eye with a fork. I was in that church in Birmingham. Saw a woman fly fishing, catch the hook in her eye. I mean, the Lord just loves people and wants to help people. In this church in Hartford, I'm preaching along. You know, when I finish, I try to do things kind of low-key, you know. Don't try to make a lot of flash, you know, because where there's flash, there's usually flesh. Amen. Thanks, buddy. But anyway, I was preaching. And I finished the message, you know. And a lot of times I'll have words of knowledge, you know. I have bizarre ones. And so the Lord told me there was someone there that their thyroid was shot. And that they hurt their back. And I called it out and said, you don't even have to come down. You're just healed. Your thyroid shot, but you watch. It's restored right now. No big deal. After the service, a young man, probably 25, 26, came walking up to me with his girlfriend. And he was kind of shaking. He said, hey, man, that's me. The doctor told me they have to put an injection into my thyroid. And he said, I could feel the power of God go down in my back. I said, well, man, glad you're here. Appreciate you coming. Thanks for coming to the church. And we'll see you tomorrow. You know, God bless you. You're redeemed. He paid for it. His back was ripped open so you'd get it. No big deal. Come back the next night, and his girlfriend came up to me. She said, you don't understand. The whole time you're preaching, my boyfriend's saying, he's a con man. He's a con man. He's a con man. So while I'm preaching, he don't like the message, don't like me, and he still gets his thyroid come alive. And see, he wants to do that. That's great for that service, but he wants to have an explosion of that mercy through you.
Yes.
Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So you are the carrier of that goodness and that mercy before he comes back. So we get into end times to show us how close we are so that we do exactly what we're supposed to do in our time slot. I like how you said it last night. What if Jesus didn't come in our lifetime? I've only got one life here. I'm going to act like he's coming in my lifetime.
Right.
Now, we went into signs last night to show us that we are that generation, and we'll get into it for a moment. But let's go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't imagine living in the last generation right before you're caught up. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Wow. We're blessed.
Well,
let's get right into the Word. Lord, we love you today. We're so grateful that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Thank you for the authority that you've given us. The authority that you've given the church of the living God. You said all power, all authority has been given unto you, Jesus. And you delegated that to us in the church. Father, I thank you that we walk in the full measure of what you've given us. I thank you for using this church, Lord. I thank you for amplifying their voice. I thank you for blessing Pastor Gary, Pastor Kimberly, and their family, Lord. You sent them here. It's divinely ordained that you sent them right here to Chula Vista. And Lord, we thank you for this building. We thank you for increase. We thank you for the days to come before we're caught up. We thank you for the glory of God to be in manifestation. That souls would be swept into the kingdom. That hearts would be changed. That marriages would be completely made aright in just a moment of time. We thank you for it. We give you glory and honor and praise. And Lord, as we get into these verses about your return, I thank you that you will be magnified. You will be glorified. You will be exalted. Father, let us see Jesus in a new light today, even more as King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, and everybody said amen. Grab your Bibles there, and we'll run back to Luke 21. We'll do just a couple minutes of review, then we'll get right into some of the next steps. Because, man, we have great things ahead. In the Old Covenant, there was a tribe called the tribe of Issachar out of the 12 tribes. It was one of the tribes. The Bible said they had an understanding of the times to know what the children of Israel ought to do. Indicating if you know what time it is, you'll know what you're supposed to do. I mean, just like football, we're, you know, today's playoff games, yesterday's playoff games. If you come down to the 2-minute warning and you're behind, you don't go to the huddle and go, you know, hey, I don't feel like doing this anymore. No. If you're behind and when it comes to the 2-minute warning, you hustle.
Right. Right.
You don't think about how tired you are.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, everybody. Drive safely. That goes over good. Start the car. I'll be right there. You know, in other words, when you know time is short, you don't complain as much.
Right.
Man, I think I'll preach over here. Here we go. I'll find another room. I'll go to the back room and preach this. Here we go. In other words, when you realize time is short, could you imagine playing football and you get to the huddle and the quarterback goes, okay, now we got to score. We've got a minute and a half left. And the guy goes, yeah, I don't feel like doing this. Starts whining. No, the shortness of time takes out the whine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So the reason we get into end time stuff is not because, thank God, we are going to escape. We're not supposed to be here during the tribulation. And we'll prove that out here in a few minutes. I'm going to give you verses to show you before you leave that you don't even qualify to be here during the tribulation. But what's wonderful is God will we're not just going to escape here. You get to go to the reward seat of Christ. We get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And you know what? I've heard so many people say, I don't want the Lord to come back because I have so much in my heart. You're not done when you're raptured. Right now, you're tasting of the powers of the world to come. We'll get into that tonight. We'll get into the millennium. So right now, you're writing your resume for what you'll be doing during the millennium. If you're faithful over so much, you rule over so many cities. I grew up in Louisiana, and I don't want to have a weed eater during the millennium. There's Brother Joe taking care of it. No, if you use a weed eater, that's wonderful, but I want to rule and reign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 21. Luke chapter 21, verse number 24. This is a pretty bold verse here. We'll run through these and we'll pick up. Luke 21, chapter 21. It's page 108 if you've got a Bible like mine. Verse 24. They'll fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Talked about that last night. Jesus basically said there, when you see Israel get Jerusalem again, time's up. That happened in 1967. Even last week, the Palestinians said, we want the borders from the Six-Day War in 1967. Why? They want Jerusalem. Why do they want Jerusalem? Because that's where Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years, and that's where the capital of the universe will be forever. After the millennium, God's going to move heaven down to earth. You talk about a U-Haul, I don't even know how that works. I hate moving, much less move a whole heaven down to earth. He's going to renovate the earth, but Satan wants that piece of property called Jerusalem. Wow. So you see the Palestinians fighting for it right now. And that's why the biggest war that ever will be over that little piece of real estate called the Temple Mount, where Solomon's temple was, when the glory of God would come in, the priests would go in, and the Shekinah of glory of God was there. But when Jesus was up on the cross, all of a sudden, he said, it is finished, and the veil was rent, and that presence went out of that holiest of all and came to dwell in you and I. And you are the carrier of that glory that was on that little mount right there. So Satan wants that little piece of property, and that's why he wants to mess with God's representation, you. That's why you've got to use your authority to run him off. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So here, this is huge. Jerusalem won back in 67. So go down and look at verse 29, and we'll run through these signs real quick, and we'll pick up with the next thing. Verse 29, he spake to them a parable. Look at the fig tree. The fig tree is the nation of Israel. And all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer or harvest is nigh at hand. Likewise, in the same manner, when you see these things come to pass, what things come to pass? Israel made a nation. When fig tree budded in 48, Jerusalem back in 67. When you see these things, watch what he says. When you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Then the next verse is the big kicker right here. He says in verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all is fulfilled. What generation? The generation that sees Israel made a nation and Jerusalem won back. Now those are two huge signs. He said, if you see those two, now last night I gave you about 15. He said in Zephaniah, right before the Lord comes back, he'll renew to them the Hebrew language. Happened 100 years ago. Pretty amazing. In your lifetime. 500 years ago? 1,000 years ago? Your lifetime. Talks about the Ethiopian Jews being brought back in your lifetime. He said, right before the Messiah comes, I'll bring them back. I mean, they were having babies on those C-130s. I don't know what nation you say you're born in when you're flying from Ethiopia back to Israel. You're part Egypt, part Israeli, part Ethiopian. I mean, you're born on an airplane. How cool is that to have that on your birth certificate? Airborne. Hallelujah. I don't know how that works, but I mean, there was ladies having kids on those planes. And you know what? When those C-130s were coming down to airlift them back, because God said, right before the Messiah comes, I'll do this. One man that was an American, he was known for being a drug dealer and a money launderer. He did one good deed for the Jews, and our president pardoned him for that one good deed. I mean, he was running from the law in Europe, and he pays for the evacuation of the Ethiopian Jews, and he was pardoned by our president. Wow. It's amazing how if you'll do some things in the last days, you instantly get the reward. Glory to God. So the Ethiopian Jews were brought back. You got the revival of the Roman Empire. You got the fertility of the land of Israel. You got the Temple Mount Institute. You have the technology. No other generations have the technology that you can even have the mark of the beast. I was preaching in Jacksonville talking about Steve and Tammy Wallace. One of the men came up to me in that church service we're getting into end times. He said, hey, I have a buddy. Now listen to this. He goes, he was at Albertsons and he paid for his groceries with his credit card thing underneath his scan in his wrist. He had his groceries there and he goes, watch this. I'm going to scan my wrist and it'll pay for it. And the guy goes, no, it won't. And he goes like this. He goes, beep. And it paid for his groceries. He had his number embedded with a chip there that paid for his groceries. Well, if you said that 100 years ago and you're on the out in the West and you're on a horse, you'd have gone chip in your hand to pay for your groceries. You crazy? But our generation today sees that. Right now, in some elderly people, they put a chip in their collarbone so that if they were in a wreck or whatever, it'd have their medical history. So the technology is here for this. Daniel saw you. And listen to what he saw. He said, people in the last days, right before the Messiah would come, they'll know their God. They'll be strong and they'll do exploits. Wow. You know, a lot of people know the Word of God, but not the God of the Word. And that's why we come to church. The Bible says right before the coming of the Lord, what does it say? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some would do, especially as you see the day approaching. So you can see the day approaching with all these natural signs. Israel made a nation, Jerusalem won back, Ethiopian Jews brought back, Hebrew language restored. Fertility of the land of Israel. All these signs, the Bible says that's what will be happening right before he comes back. No other generation's had it. So we're it. And if you just looked at the investment of the hand of God on this generation, of the Word of God, 100 years ago people didn't know who they were in Christ. This morning, I know your church so well, I know Pastor Gary so well, you know who you are in Christ. If I said, hey, you know what, God wants you to suffer, you'd go, no, he doesn't. Jesus suffered for me. Amen. 50 years ago, you'd said that, and they'd go, that's right. God wants to beat you up. No, he didn't want to beat you up. He beat Jesus up for you. How ridiculous would that be for you to suffer what Jesus suffered? That's all pride. I think I need to do this because I'm so cool. No, he died for us. Amen. So that's been invested in us. Why is that a huge deal? But look at what God has done in the last 25, 35, 45 years. I used to go to John Osteen's church when there were 50 people there. How many thousand people are there now? Went to John. This is so much bigger than John Osteen's church in 1970 when I went there. And look what the Lord has done. We're so blessed to be living right before Jesus comes back. And if you want to get into even something crazy, we talked about those birds. A lot of my buddies work for the Israeli government. And you know who their best friends are? Holy Ghost Word of Faith preachers. Because see, right after we're raptured, all of a sudden their eyes are going to open up. And they're going to raise up, there's going to be 12,000 evangelists from each tribe. They're going to go out and start preaching. So guess what? God's ready to hand off to them. Pretty wild. So who are they associating with? Wild Holy Ghost preachers that know that the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God. Because it's the same God that raised Jesus from the dead. All of a sudden they're going to go, man, he's the deal. Amen. So let's go here and look at some more. You have all these signs. Watch what Jesus says. Everybody with me? How many still glad you came? How many glad you're here and not in surgery? Come on. It's better to be in church than surgery. Amen. So he goes on in verse 32. It says, I know it's a bold statement. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all is fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. Really, he said heaven and earth will be altered, but my words won't be altered. Notice when Jesus says, hey, you can't change this. The generation sees these two things, you're the generation. And I'm amazed that people will fight for the right to not believe that. I don't believe that. Whatever. Some people go, that makes me uncomfortable. Whatever. It don't matter. You can't change it. You know, it's almost like people go, that makes me nervous. Well, get over it. Get excited. Jesus is coming back. So how the church responds is, let's be a voice and a witness. Now watch what Jesus says. Let's go a little further. Verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day comes upon you unawares. Wow. Look at verse 36. This is good to find out kind of the verbiage here. Verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and you can stand before the Son of Man. Now see, he's talking to Jewish boys there that are not born again. I don't have to pray to be accounted worthy. I am worthy because I'm in the body of Christ. He's talking to boys here that are not even saved yet. He's talking to Jewish boys. So these signs here that we looked at in Luke are all of the second coming. You get your second coming doctrine from the Gospels because there's sign after sign after sign after sign. If you want to get a cool view of the second coming, look at Zechariah. Look at Joel. Zechariah. How many went to Raiders of the Lost Ark in 1980 or 81? Remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Don't you remember the Temple of Doom and the next one was the Crusade, whatever it was? Remember in Raiders how when they came to get him, the God came out of the thing and fried them all? That's from Zechariah. At the second coming, their skin's going to melt off their face. They will be destroyed with the brightness of his coming. If you want to get some graphic pictures of the second coming, look at Isaiah, look at Zechariah. There's all these signs about the second coming, but there's no signs for the rapture. Because in the Gospels, you don't get your verses for the rapture. It's not there, because he was talking to Jewish boys about him setting up a kingdom. That's why the rapture was a mystery. Because I've heard so many people, now hang with me, I've heard so many people say, well, about the rapture, you know, about the coming of the Lord, do I have to get oil in my lamp? He's not talking to the church. I have the creator of the oil in me.
Right.
Amen. I can prophesy at the drop of a hat. Why? Because he's here. So many people say, well, are you ready? Do you have everything just set? I'm born again.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
So we have all these signs, and we have a great change coming. So I'm saying that because we hear a lot of preaching today that it gets you into a works mentality. Now, we'll get into that in a minute. He's going to judge the motive of your heart. But the blood of Jesus makes you have peace and joy today, to where you know you can stand before the presence of God. Has nothing to do with what you've done, has everything to do with what He has done. And you know what? I think He did a pretty good job. Hebrews said, by Himself He purged our sins. Sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He by inheritance attained a more excellent name than they. So He did it. So I get to rest in what He did. So about end times, about the coming of the Lord, I can relax and go, wow, He did this for me. I have nothing to fear. If you hear preaching on the coming of the Lord that produces fear, it's not Bible. Because you're basically mocking the blood of Jesus, saying the blood wasn't good enough. That's what people say about the tribulation. Well, you need to go through the tribulation. Oh, His blood wasn't good enough for you? I've gone into a lot of churches, you know, they go, well, I drank the wrong kind of coffee and I hope I make it in the rapture. I said, well, you must have got a bad strain of the blood of Jesus. Man, I got the real deal. I'm a new creature in Christ. You see, all those doctrines downplay how powerful He is. Amen. So now we have all these signs of the second coming. At the second coming of Christ, He bodily comes down to earth right there in Jerusalem. There's a massive earthquake. And the Temple Mount will be pushed up into the air like that. And the water will come out of the throne right there. And that water will produce life all over the planet. Just because it comes near Jesus. Ooh, and you have Jesus in you. Come on now. You got some water flowing near Jesus. It's going to bless the whole planet. And He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Ooh, hallelujah. So that's the second coming. Pretty dramatic. Is dramatic. Every movie that you see that the hero comes in at the end of the deal and saves the day, they get that from the Bible. Because Jesus will come down at the very end of the tribulation and He will save the Jews. The Bible says He'll destroy the yoke, that yoke of the Antichrist on the Jews. It's going to look like He's going to annihilate them, and Jesus is going to come on a white horse and go save the day. And you're going to be right there with Him riding on a white horse. Hallelujah. How cool will that be?
Yeah.
So, that's the second coming. Now, the rapture of the church, we know that we're caught up. So, let's go look at the next event for your and I's life. Go to Thessalonians. This is a pretty radical event that will happen called the rapture of the church. It's pretty bizarre to hear people talk about things that, well, that's not really going to happen. Well, you got to go by what the Bible says. This is exactly what will happen. Let's go to Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Everybody still glad they came? I'm in the right room, right? Come on now, I'm in the right place, right? You know, the signs of the second coming are so grand, and I don't have time to spend a lot of time on it, but you think about all the things that are happening around Israel right now, with Egypt, with Libya, with Turkey. Now listen, this is stuff that should just shout to everybody. Iran has never made a pact with Russia ever until recently. In Ezekiel 38, Russia comes down on Israel. That's right after the rapture. Now, they made a pact with them. You've got Russian submarines. You've got Russian aircraft carriers right there helping Syria and bring arms from Iran right down into Syria. So you have an alliance that never was there for several thousand years. It's happened right now. That's the setup for the Ezekiel 38 war. So this stuff is right in front of our eyes. What do we do about it? Jesus is coming back. Whew, Jesus is coming back. So He's going to tell us something to do here when you get the thought pattern of the rapture. So go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 13. I like this. This is what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. There's two things the Bible said don't be ignorant about. Number one, gifts of the Spirit. Number two, the rapture of the church. Why? Right before the rapture, He wants you to have an outflow mentality to help and reach people. Because the gifts of the Spirit are harvesting tools. They're not to have great services. It's good to have great services. They're harvesting tools to get people saved. So the two things he said don't be ignorant about, why? Right before you're caught up, there'll be a flood and a flow of the Holy Ghost through the church. So he says here in verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, wow, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, like verse 18, wherefore scare one another with these words. No, this is to bring us comfort. How many people you know need comfort? The world right now needs comfort. They need comfort more than anything. Need peace. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It means to exhort or to call nearer to God. Hey, we're supposed to be saying he's coming back so that we exhort ourselves nearer to God. Right before the rapture of the church, we should be white, hot, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, you know what this is. This is all of a sudden we're going to be caught up. I like what Philippians says. He's able to subdue even all things unto himself. When he says, look how powerful he is. When he says, come up hither, come up to the throne of God. All your molecules in one atomic second is going to, boom, turn into a glorified body. That's how powerful he is. Every loved one you have that's going home to be with the Lord, their body's going to be recreated. You know the old songs where the graves are going to burst open? The graves aren't going to burst open. They're going to come right through those graves. They're going to come right through those coffins. People that have been buried at sea, they're going to reunite with their body, and we're going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. Wow, so shall we ever be with the Lord. People go, is that really going to happen? Absolutely. You know why? Happened to Enoch. Enoch was caught up. He was raptured. Happened to Elijah. Elijah and Elisha were walking along, and all of a sudden the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and Elijah went up. He was raptured. Jesus was raptured. Remember? He went up into heaven, and the angel said, this same Jesus that you see go up into heaven, he's coming back in the same manner.
Yes.
Glory to God. Don't you love how powerful our God is?
Yes.
That at one word, he recreates your body.
Yes.
I like it because I'm never going to gain weight again. Amen. Woo, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to get me a glorified body. It'd be wonderful. Well, now we know what our glorified body will look like. Look at Jesus after he had gone to heaven and came back. He ate fish. He was normal. He said, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as I have. So in his glorified body, he was able to walk through walls, but he still ate fish. You know, everybody talks about sushi. My wife loves sushi. I say Jesus cooked his fish. Amen. So, you know, even though he's in a glorified body, he wanted to grill his fish. Come on. So Jesus didn't walk around like a ghost. They saw him and he's sitting there acting normal. So we have great things ahead. There's so much weirdness about now. You know, I normally preach on the power of God. Everything on my book tells about miracles. Power, power, power flowing through you. Then having to preach on end times for so long, we do question and answers a lot of times. The number one, this is amazing. Do question and answers at most churches. I didn't even talk about doing it tonight, but you can ask Colleen. This is the number one question. Will I know my husband? Will I know my wife when I get to heaven? I'm like, well, do you know them now? It's not like all of a sudden when you're raptured, everything's gone. No. You know, when we talk about good memories, you'll have all your memories. You'll have, you know, the rapture is not, all it's going to do is make things better. Things are enhanced, not deteriorated. It's a glorified body, not a deteriorated body. Now, why is it that we have to have a glorified body? We're going to go walk right up to the throne of God. You know, I've had Jesus appear to me several times, and the number one thing that hit me every time he appeared to me was I could not handle how pure and holy that realm is. My flesh, I bawled like a baby. Couldn't talk to people all day because I couldn't handle the radiance of how glorious he is. We're going to get us a body where we can walk right in there and go, man, Father, thank you for being so good. Thank you for being so merciful. Fit and retrofitted to handle that kind of presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you all through scriptures, you see raptures. But what's wild is the doctrine today is like, well, these things are never going to happen. Why is the devil trying to sow that? Because it is going to happen. Jesus is coming back. Hey, hang with me for a minute. I'll even tell you when it's going to happen. You ready for this? I don't know. This freaks people out. I won't tell you the day, but I can tell you the month probably. Now, hang with me. The month probably be September. People, wow. Why? Because that's Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Now, if we knew that, we know when the Lord's coming back. How many people know when Rosh Hashanah is? Didn't think so. Now, hang with me. Just hang with me just a second.
That's amazing. Jesus went to the cross, what, on Feast of Passover, didn't he? The Passover lamb. John saw him through the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then Jesus came off the cross, listen, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, most people were on the cross for like a week or two because they broke the law, and they want people to see if you break the law, you're going to be on the cross. So Jesus had a feast to keep. So he was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What did they do with Unleavened Bread? They took three pieces of bread, the middle piece, they folded it, they pierced it, and they broke it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He's born in Bethlehem. You know what Bethlehem means? Home of the bread. Okay, so here's Jesus. He went to the cross on Passover, buried on unleavened bread. When was he raised from the dead? The Feast of First Fruits. He's the firstborn from the dead. Ooh, hallelujah. Okay, what was the next feast? Pentecost. Guess what happened 50 days after First Fruits? The Holy Ghost was poured out. See, God likes dates. Okay, so what's the next date? Rosh Hashanah. I could miss it. I could miss it by a mile. But you know, how many of you ladies, when you were getting married, did you know when you were getting married? I mean, our daughter just got married, and you talk about preparation. Holy cow, preparation beyond preparation, okay? We didn't come closer to the wedding and go, no, it's not happening, I don't believe that. No, the date was set. We even had things they sent out, save the date. And then after save the date was all the things that went out. Because most ladies know when they're going to get married. Now, what's the verse in the Gospels? One of the only verses in the Gospels that talk about the rapture of the church, John 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's the only little reference to the rapture in the Gospels. Now, what was that, though? That was a Jewish wedding proposal. How weird would that be if you're hanging out with your buddies and you ask your buddies to marry you? I mean, the disciples are going, oh, he's asking us to marry him. This is weird. He's asking us to marry him. This is weird. He was trying to show them that the rapture of the church is just like a wedding. Now, in the Jewish tradition is, to hang with me, when a guy asks a girl to marry him, he goes back to his father's house, and his father helps him build a room for their honeymoon, and then the bride stays at a ready point, so when the groom comes back, with a shout, the father tells the groom, the room's ready, go get your bride. And with a shout, he comes down, and she goes out to meet him when he shouts. Well, I guarantee, we fought for the right thing. Well, you can't know. They knew how long it was going to be to build that house, but depending on how rich the family was. If the family was real rich, it's going to be a very elaborate room. If the family had no money, it's only going to be a few weeks. Amen. He's going to come down with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, come up hither, come up to the throne of God. And all of a sudden, there's going to be piles of clothes laying around all over. There's going to be watches and glasses laying around. God's so sweet and so merciful that you have a book series called the Left Behind series that a marriage writer has written, and there's 73 million copies of that all over the world. So after that, people are going to go, holy cow, I missed the rapture of the church. All right, what's the qualifications for the rapture? The blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. I've heard people say, well, if you're not in faith, the rapture, you won't go up. That's not true. You can't find that. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. If you're born again, you're going up. 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 How many are you going to go up? Come on now. Amen. Want to be fun? All of a sudden, streaking through the heavens right there to the throne of God. So there's so much you could get into about the rapture, but I'm going to keep moving because we have tons of things to get into. Go over to 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Still glad you came? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at your next appointment after the rapture. We'll get into this for just a couple minutes. And then we'll get into the reason why you can't be here during the tribulation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you would, it's page 210 if you've got a Bible like mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I don't even like hearing that word, but that word labor is in there, isn't it? He says in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry, you're God's building. Now, this is cool. This shows you. Now, man, I don't know why. It's just, I know your pastor so well, Pastor Gary and Kimberly. I know them so well. I feel like family. But, you know, people preach this all over the country, and they make a wonderful picture for their newsletter because they scare the hell out of people to get them to come down to the front for a picture. They do, because it makes a great photo. You better get ready. You're going to the judgment seat of Christ. But you know what? He's not going to judge your sin. Sin was already laid on Jesus. You wouldn't be at this judgment if you had sin. He's going to judge the motive of your heart.
I'll prove it out. But boy, it scares people to come down. You're talking about coming down, man. You get out of your seat. Woo, here we go. Because, you know, you don't want the Lord to be mad at you. You know what? He's not mad at you. He laid all that judgment on Jesus. Boy, I ought to get a better amen out of that. Come on. People will fight for the right to think the Lord's mad at them. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at you at all. I've heard people say, well, you know, what if I did something wrong? I don't believe in once saved, always saved, but it's hard to change your nature. My daughter, she's born of me, and you know what? If she even got mad at me and mocked me, I'd go all over the earth to try to find her. And you know what? She's still, her nature is me. Just like, how many know you're a male or a female? Well, you know, hopefully we're good. And we'll pray for you after the service. I was preaching in Newport, Rhode Island, and I had a word of knowledge that a woman had cysts in her ovaries, and a man came down. I said, there's a woman here, you got cysts on your ovaries. This man come walking out. I said, no, it doesn't work that way. And this person goes, I used to be a woman. Had a full beard, still had ovaries and had a uterus, and got healed of that, and went to the doctor, the cysts were gone. So, but see, it's hard to change your nature. If you're a woman, you're a woman. If you're a man, you're a man, period. But when it comes to being born again, we think we're not really born again. You're so born again, it's hard for the devil to even mess with you. Come on now. If we had any idea what we have in the church, we would just, we'd run through troops and jump over walls, wouldn't we? But let's look at this part right here, because this will bless you. You have wonderful things to look forward to. Wonderful things to look forward to. Watch what he says here. He says in verse 12, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work, circle the word work, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, circle the word work, of what sort it is or how valuable it is. Look at verse 14. If any man's work abide which he built thereupon, he'll receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he'll suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet even by fire. So he's talking about here your works. Now your works don't get you to this reward seat. The blood of Jesus gets you to the reward seat. But once you get there, he's going to analyze what you did for him, just like Pastor Gary was saying. And this is not about hurting you. This is about rewarding you.
Right.
How many of you seen the Olympics?
Yes.
Have you ever seen somebody after they've been training and training and training, and they're going to get a gold medal? I've never seen somebody in the Olympics go, I'm so scared to go up to the podium. This 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is called the Bema. It's the podium where they get that in the Olympics, where the guy goes up and gets a gold medal. You see, maybe he's a deadlift. You've seen those guys, they lift all that weight. And all of a sudden, tears start coming down their eyes because they unroll their flag because he represented his nation and he gets a medal for representing his nation. God wants to bless you for what you've done that's eternal, and your appointment right after you're caught up, you're going to stand before him and you're going to walk up on that beam and he's going to go, look at how you ushered. Look at how you were there when nobody else was there. Look at how you worked with the kids. Look at how you worked with the sound. You gave of your life. And it's gold, silver, and precious stones. You don't want a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. That's the motive of your heart. Wood, hay, and stubble are all above the ground, what people see. What people do that people see, you probably won't get a reward for. Woo! It's the motive of your heart. What is gold? That's your devotional life. What's silver? The tongue of the just is of choice silver. What he's doing is suiting you up for the millennium here. Now, he wants to reward you. How cool is that? But how many, and this is a military town, how many of you seen like a general? You've seen a general's uniform? I think of Colin Powell when he had all the stars right there. And you know, when someone walked up to Colin Powell, maybe even all the badges over his heart, Purple Heart, whatever, they don't walk up to him and go, did you do what you're supposed to do? Did you do what you're supposed to do? Did you do? No, his uniform preached for him, didn't it? You walk up to a general, you walk up to a captain, you see those bars, you see those stripes, you don't go, nah, 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 you should have done what you're supposed to do. You know they did what they're supposed to do. And see, right here at this reward seat, you're going to be clothed with glory and honor right after this. You don't want to be walking around the millennium in a Speedo bathing suit. Aha!
Right.
Uh-huh. Didn't do anything for the Lord during the church age, did you? It will preach for you. I'm telling you. Now the thing about how we think is, you won't look at people and go, man, I wish I had their robe. You'll go, look, they obeyed God. They gave their life. Their uniform in the millennium will preach for them before they open their mouth. Just like a general walks in, he doesn't go, hey, I did what I was supposed to do. I did what I was supposed to do. No, you know he did what he's supposed to do. He's wearing that uniform. God wants to fit you for the next age. And what you're doing right now sets you up for the millennium.
Good.
That's your next appointment. Now, it's pretty sobering. I mean, the Lord appeared to me in 1987 and told me to preach this. I said, I don't want to preach this. Because see, what that makes us do is
get off our butt and do something for God. You know, because remember the traveling guy, the pastor exudes decency, the traveling guy exudes urgency. How many messages do you have to hear before you do this? I'll stand on the chair and say it. See, communication, 57% body language, 37% facial expression. 7% of what I say is what you get. That's why I'm jumping up on the chair. You're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to give an account for what you did. I couldn't imagine hearing message after message after message and just kind of, yeah, whatever. Man, that's the flavor of the church right now. Yeah, whatever. Show me what you got. That kind of arrogance and spiritual pride, when we get before the throne, you talk about crying and worshiping and honoring Him, that God would let Himself be killed for us so that we could be with Him forever. It's the least we can do is be excited about how close we are to His return. Amen. All right, real quick. Wow. Real quick. Go over to Daniel real quick. We'll get this. Everybody say caffeine. Caffeine, caffeine, caffeine. Let's go to Daniel real quick, and I want to prove to you why you can't be here during the tribulation. Don't you want to know that? Because see, right after we're raptured, oh, there's so much. Right after we're raptured starts that 7-year period that the Bible calls Daniel's 70th week, or a time of Jacob's trouble. Okay, now why is that a huge deal? God is going to court Israel and woo them to receiving Jesus as their Messiah. So there's a 7-year period where, man, there's a lot of things happening on the earth, but really it's pressure so that people have to make a decision. Amen. It's amazing. People wait till the very end. We were preaching in Canada the other day, and wow, I had a woman that had damage in her knee. I just saw her back there. I said, how you doing, ma'am? She goes, well, I need a knee replacement. I walked back there and prayed for her. And I go, how you doing? She goes, well, it's still hurting. I said, well, hold on a minute. How do we enforce this miracle? Thanks, thankfulness. I said, I had her walk with me. I said, walk with me, ma'am. I said, Father, thank you that she believed that she received her healing when we prayed. Thank you that it's done. Thank you it's done. All of a sudden, she shot up in the air. She's about 80 years old. Scared me. She goes, toom, shot up like that. I'm like, whoa. And she took off. So I did the altar call at the end. And this elderly man, probably almost 90, wouldn't you say? Maybe 85, 88. I said, let's get saved today. This little man like that raised his hand. His wife was right there with him. I didn't even have him come down. He was so old. I said, man, I'll come back to you. So I walked back to him. I led him in the sinner's prayer. His son was there. He'd never been to church ever. His wife been praying for him for 40-something years to come to church. He gets saved. We went to the airport the next day, and the pastor's name is Keith Johnson. He called me. He said, you know, that elderly man went home to be with the Lord last night. Now, you talk about cutting it close. That's cutting it close. you don't want to cut it that close. Because, see, the tribulation period, there's going to be so much pressure on the earth that people won't cut it so close. They'll go, Lord, I accept you. Just like in the war, man, there's no sinners in a foxhole. 7 years of foxhole mentality, people are turning to the Lord. So let's go to Daniel real quick. We're going to do this. We'll do this in 5 minutes. Everybody with me? We can do it. Hallelujah. Everybody say caffeine. Daniel chapter 9, look at verse 1. Daniel 9, verse 1. This is cool because this proves to you that you can't be here during the tribulation. But it's a lot of information in a short period of time. So run with me to Daniel 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of whatever you call it, the seed over the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. It sounds like blah, 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 but it really is cool. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in Jerusalem, 70 years of desolation in Jerusalem. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and fasting with supplication. So let's get this figured out. What happens here? Okay, they're in jail. The nation of Israel's in jail, and Daniel's smart enough to go, okay, let's find out why we're in jail. Okay, this is where we need to be really alert, because this is going to make some sense here in just a minute to show us why we can't be here during the tribulation. Okay, they were supposed to let the land rest every 7 years. Okay, indicating they were so blessed on the 6th year that they didn't plant or do anything in the 7th year because they were so blessed in the 6th. Well, you know what they started doing? They thought, well, let's just try it. They started planting some in the 7th year and nothing happened. They planted some the next 7th year and they kept doing that. Guess how long they did that? 490 years. So now watch. God said, okay, you didn't do what I told you to do. I'm going to put you in jail to make you pay the land off what I told you to do. They owed the land back 70 years. Thank God we live in the church age. Amen. Hello, we're not under the law. Amen. That gets you a good amen. Okay, so remember that. They missed it for 490 years. Everybody got it? They missed it for 490, put in jail for 70. Okay, now watch. Watch what Gabriel says to Daniel. Skip over to verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplication, this is Gabriel talking to Daniel here. Because Daniel, he set his face to find out why they're in jail. And here the Lord shows him all the nations And right when the Lord's going to come back. Pretty amazing. At the beginning of thy supplication, this is verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. I'm come to show you that you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. All that means is you 70 times 7, you get another 490 years. Okay? You missed it for 490, you're getting another 490. Okay, hang with me. And watch what he says here. 490 years are determined upon who? Thy people. Who? And upon the holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall come, so it'll be 62 weeks, and the street will be built again in the wall even in troublous times. He divides it up a little bit here, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now I'm going to bring this down to where we get it, okay? He said when the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until Jesus comes is going to be 483 years. Now, that sounds complicated, but all of a sudden, King Artaxerxes, because this is all, these are true historian people. Nehemiah was sad because Jerusalem was overthrown, and Artaxerxes said, why are you so sad? He goes, well, Jerusalem's overthrown. So he goes, you know what? I'm going to make a commandment, and we're going to restore and build Jerusalem. Now, Gabriel said, when the commandment goes forth to restore and build Jerusalem until Jesus comes, 483 years. So all of a sudden, King Artaxerxes, let's rebuild Jerusalem. Well, the clock started right there. Guess what happens? All of a sudden, Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on a colt. They used to ask him, are you the Messiah? He'd say, no, you know, he just kind of downplayed everything. All of a sudden, they start putting those palm branches down. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They said, man, they're saying you're the Messiah. He said, don't worry. They didn't do it. The rocks would cry out. Because that was 483 years from when that proclamation came forth. He'd come right into Jerusalem on the year that Gabriel said he'd come. But he came after 483 years. How many years were determined for them? 490. Okay, so he still owes them 7 years back of Old Testament time. Remember how they owed him 70 years and he made them pay? God owes them 7 years. So we get raptured, and who's it determined upon? The Jews and upon Jerusalem, not the church. So you aren't supposed to be here because it's not for you. It's Old Testament time. That's why they're going to go back to sacrifices. They're going to go back to just like it was before Jesus came. And the amazing thing is the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and he has a perfect solution for all that's going on. And they're going to think he's the Messiah. What a bummer to think this guy's the Messiah and he's Satan incarnate. That would really not be good. Oh, it's him. And all of a sudden it's like he grows a tail and horns. You know, it's like, whoops, wrong guy. But we're so blessed that you don't qualify to be here. Do you see how you don't qualify? Jesus came after 483 years and 490 are determined upon them. Remember Jesus, Peter said, how many times did you forgive somebody? 70 times 7, 490 times. There's something about 490 was an Old Testament time of how long you forgave people. So, that time is upon us. I mean, we're about to have a handoff to the point that God brought Jews from all over the earth back to that little piece of real estate. We were talking about it last night with some people over there. People came off the airplanes from Russia, don't even know why they came back. Something on the inside of them, because God's so powerful, he said, I'll bring them back from all over the earth. That's a visible miracle. You could preach on that for days. God's so powerful. And it doesn't even take faith. You've gotten to see him do. You know what he said? There's one thing in the scriptures he said, you'll say, I can't pull it off. He's already done it. He said in Isaiah, you'll say, I can't bring the Jews back from all over the world. He's already done it. Wow. So look how much he is to watch over his word. Think about the word that you have for your life. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Come on. Come on now. You have what you say. So if he'll bring those things to pass for those little verses, think about who you are as sons of God. Hallelujah. Thank God we don't have to be here during that 7 years. I mean, you need to warn people you don't want to be here. I mean, you get into it, and it's all bad. You know, I don't preach a lot on the book of Revelation because we're really not here for most of it. But once you get into it, you go, man, oh, man, we need to warn people as much as we can. Jesus is coming back. Wow. If you have family members, tell them the Lord's coming back. If you have acquaintances at work, you don't have to be weird about it. You know, we don't have to be like evangelistic. Thus saith the Lord. No, just go, hey, dude, look at all the signs. I was on a plane to Europe maybe 20 years ago, and some people were sitting there with me, and they said, I don't know what's going on in the world. I said, I know what's going on in the world. Jesus is coming back. They said, well, how do you know that? I mean, just real kind of arrogant. I said, well, I can read. And the Bible says when Israel's brought back, that's a sign. Jerusalem went back's a sign. Hebrew language a sign. Ethiopian Jews a sign. How many you need? I can keep going. And there, she's like, holy cow. All of a sudden, we had a little church service right there in the cabin of that airplane, American Airlines. Because it's inarguable. Yeah. People go, well, I don't believe that. Don't matter. It's inarguable. Matter. It's exact, precise. And I know that people don't like that when you're bold like that, but I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to back away from how awesome the Word is to make the world feel more comfortable. Right. I can't help it. Jesus is coming back. I want us to think about this as we dismiss. One moment here in the days ahead. I don't think it's this year. You know, when people talk about 2012, you know, maybe it is this year. I don't believe so. But the Mayan calendar, the Hopi Indian calendar, all that. I go by what the Word says. There's a lot of calendars that will say whatever. The Bible tells us the season. We're in the season. I can't tell you the year, but I tell you what, I'd live like he's coming tomorrow. Yeah. We talked about it last night. If you thought he's coming tomorrow, it'll change your life. Yeah. If you thought he's coming tomorrow, it'll change your life. Yeah. You go to bed tonight, Lord, I love you. Let's have that mentality before we close right now that we're about to go from faith to sight. Yeah. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for blessing every person that came. We thank you for this season right before you come back. I thank you for your blessings upon this congregation. Lord, we love you. We're excited about your return. Help us be a witness before you come back. I pray for every family. I pray for every household. I thank you for blessing their jobs, blessing their households. May 2012 be the best year they've ever had. I ask you for that, Father. I thank you that our prayer life will be even bolder. Our walk with you will be more intensified. I thank you for it, Father. Use them, Father. Use them for your glory. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Real quick before we dismiss, is there anybody that's never made Jesus the Lord of your life? I know you may have heard about the church and you wanted to come hear the word. Please, if you're a visitor, come back here, Pastor Gary. But maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I want to pray with you. I won't embarrass you, but I'll pray with you. If you're here and you've never done it, lift your hand up. Say, that's me. Pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior today. It'd be a good birthday to get born again right before the coming of the Lord. How cool is that? Probably have a badge in your house. Born again, such and such a day, real close to the coming of the Lord. Amen. Let's say this prayer real quick before we dismiss. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you today as my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. One more invitation. You say, I'm born again, but I've not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you're here today and you've never been filled with the Spirit, Jesus said you'd be endued with power, not weirdness, power. If you're here and you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost and you'd like to be today, raise your hand. We'll pray for you after the service. You can be filled today with the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm baptized in the Spirit. I have a fire pack on the back table there, and it has a guarantee on it to set you on fire. Now, why is that? It's even got matches in there. So if the message doesn't get you, you can set yourself on fire. Amen. See, it's called the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Because you don't have to advertise the fire. Amen. John Wesley said of the Methodist Church, let God set you on fire. People will come watch you burn. Sure, appreciate you coming today. I love your church. I love your pastors. They're so normal and so cool. You can invite anybody here and you know they're going to be blessed and changed. Their motive is to strengthen you so that you can do something before the rapture of the church. Sure appreciate you coming. Great to be with you. If you want to get filled afterwards, we'll pray for you. You can get filled. Try to come back tonight. We'll get into stuff about the millennium that shows you what you'll be functioning in during that 1,000 years. It's so cool. Have an awesome day and make sure you be a voice and a witness before he comes back. Amen. Bless you. Have an awesome day. We'll see you tonight. Awesome. Thanks, Pastor Garrett. Awesome.
Praise the Lord. Just go ahead and be seated for a few more seconds. We told you we wanted to do something. Of course, we want to give you an opportunity to sow financially into the ministry of the Morrises. They're going all over the world. How many of y'all enjoyed that this morning? Huh? Good.